Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let me just say off the top here that Tom Brady is much better with Rob Gronkowski by his side. I mean, this is sort of a Batman and Robin, you know, terrible analogy deal, but like it really is true. When you think about Tom Brady's career, you know, more than half of it, or about half of it anyway, he's had this other Hall of Fame player. And I'm here to tell you that it just matters. He just seems more settled. Obviously, Gronkowski is not 100%. I don't think he's been 100% for about 9 years. But, you know, he made, really not even arguably, but the biggest play of the game. So, Steve, they're, you know, in this game where they're up 10-3 and they get a ball, they get pinned back after a punt. And Tom Brady throws one to Mike Evans, one of these quick screens out on the sidelines. And Mike, it just bounces off his shoulder pads up into the air, and it's intercepted at the 5-yard line. The Giants score, and you're kind of like into the second quarter almost, and it's 10-10. And you're thinking, wow, is this going to turn into one of those days where balls are, you know, bouncing off guys' arms, and, you know, two of his 4 interceptions the last 2 games were deflections and things like that. So, I mean, the Giants usually play these guys really tough in close games. So you needed a hero. You needed somebody to put the cape on. And it's 3rd down. They're about to turn the ball back over to the Giants with a tie game in good field position. And up steps Rob Gronkowski, who has, as you know, played 6 snaps total since week 3 when he cracked 3 ribs, fractured another one, I guess, and punctured his lung. And he makes, you know, it's good protection. He runs an over route, and he makes like a 36, 38-yard grab. They go on and score a touchdown. They never look back. And Gronkowski was one of like 4 players that had 6 catches. He was 6 catches for 71 yards. What a difference. I mean, just his energy, his blocking in the run game. I mean, we've talked about them getting healthy. They couldn't have gotten any healthier than with Rob in this game.
Well, it's his energy, it's his blocking the run game, but more importantly, it's his, I know where to go on the field. Tom knows I know where I'm going to go.
That's
on the field.
That's it.
And
yep.
And it's a security blanket. And, yep. You know, that route you're talking about, you know, as he was cutting across, he saw where the guy on him, he had to get away from mm-hmm. him and the safety.
Right.
And he undercut the safety.
Right.
And went to the hole. And Tom Brady knew that's where he was going to go. Or, you know, as he broke that way, Tom goes, okay, I see the same thing he's seeing. He's going to that spot. I know where it is.
Right.
And I'm going to throw it to him.
It's amazing.
You know, it's you know, there's something to be said for that chemistry between them. And, you know, it's not the 2 years here, but all those years in New England as well. So, and not that, he's a tremendous Hall of Fame player, too.
Right, sure, first ballot.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other part of it, too, is he's fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, because you could see throughout the game, it was obvious that Brady wanted to get a lot of people involved early. That first drive, it was to Evans, it was to Godwin, it was to Braid, it was to Fournette, it was, you know, he went 5 for 5 and distributed it.
Yeah, 6 plays, 6 different guys touched the ball.
You know, so it was obvious their plan was to, let's get guys involved early. But even throughout the game, and granted that they won 30-10, but you could even see in Tom Brady's eyes, I mean, he hit Cameron Braid in the hands a couple times, he drops it. They weren't easy catches. But, you know, the one, you know, Braid's going down the field, the safety's on him with his back turned, he's open. You got to catch that ball.
Yeah.
Breshad Perriman,
absolutely.
He threw one in the corner of the end zone. A very tough catch.
That was a dime. Great throw, though.
But it's a great throw, and you got to catch that. And you can see, you know, at times in the game, Tom's going, you know, I'm hitting the guys in the hands. What else can I do?
What can I do?
And then you start seeing him go back to Godwin, to Gronkowski, to Evans at that point. Because it's, I'm going to throw it to guys that are going to catch it.
And I trust
him. Yeah. And you know, that's what he's been successful his whole career is, you know, the guys he trusts, he'll throw it to.
Yeah. Yeah, and he was, you know, he was pretty on point. Like, I, you know, first it starts with protection, right? And that's, from that sense, the Giants really didn't get to him, which always makes it an easier day. They definitely came out with some tempo. I thought they went, you know, a little quicker in the huddles, in and out. And, you know, they, like I said, they spread the ball around mostly to the perimeter to start the game. They had a great first drive, a great plan. You know, you script those plays. They all seemed to work pretty good. Fournette was still a big part of the receiving game. He was, you know, 6 for 6 in targets and 39 yards. So, you know, they took the lead, and everything was going fine. And then, you know, the interception happens. And it was weird because it was Mike Evans. You don't normally see balls bounce off, you know, his hands like that. But that could have been a turn of events had the Giants been equipped to take advantage of it.
Mm-hmm.
They could have dragged him into the kind of ugly game they have the last four times they played them. But, you know, credit the Bucs and, of course, you know, Gronk for making that big play on third down.
Well, and credit the defense. I mean, the only touchdown the Giants scored is when they got the ball within inside the 5-yard line after the interception.
That's correct. I think it might have been, in fact, on that drive. I don't know that they allowed another third down conversion. I think, you know, the Giants were bad on third down. Listen, I wasn't a big fan of Daniel Jones. Coming out, even less so. I mean, maybe some of this is on Jason Garrett. They had a lot of these rollout throwback plays, which I didn't really get.
Well, the offensive line couldn't block. He had to roll them out.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, he had to move.
Particularly, the right guard was just getting abused.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, Lewis Riddick and Brian Griese talked about it on the broadcast. It was, you know, look, the offensive line can't protect them. They've got to create rollouts to give them some time and to give them some space to throw the ball. You know, when your offensive line's a sieve like that, you can't just sit your quarterback in the pocket. It doesn't work.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on. You know, Dave Gettleman has brought in all these players, all these skilled guys, you know, starting with Barkley and Jones, high draft picks, and they've never really had a good offensive line, you know, to play behind. And yet, you know, you still think they'll be better. Look, their best play, like I'm telling you, this guy's impressive. Za'Darius Toney, the kid from Florida, man, is he quick.
He's got some flash to him.
Oh, my gosh. And he broke some ankles out there, and that's hard to do in the National Football League. They should base their whole offense around. I like Saquon Barkley. Now, Barkley's just coming back. I still think he's a special talent. He's been hurt. It's not really his fault. I know everybody goes, oh, he's injury prone. And yeah, if you're hurt a lot, that's the label they stick to you. No, but, you know, he didn't go out there trying to turn his ankle and things like that. And you know, he's not back to where he should be, nor is the offensive line, as you mentioned. But, you know, they got a few pieces, you know. Kyle Rudolph's, Evan Engram, you know, kind of okay tight ends. You know, Galladay's okay wide receiver. You know, Darius Slayton, okay. Toney, I think, is exceptional. And they just didn't get the ball in his hands enough. But it's tough because, you know, this is a number of years now with Daniel Jones, and he can't, you know, really affect who protects for him and things like that, but just not good. I mean, you know, that's an understatement. Maybe he had a couple of interceptions, threw for only 167 yards and one touchdown with two picks. His yards per attempt was a robust 4.4. My goodness.
They averaged more per rushing attempt than passing attempt.
They did. They averaged 5-1 a rush. And they, I thought they ran the ball really well, and that bears it out. It's just simply you can't run it when you're down three scores. You know, I mean, that pretty much went out the window. I mean, they averaged quite a few yards. But, you know, Barkley was just working his way back. You know, the Bucs, like I said, they had a couple interceptions, including one. Was it by Steve McClendon?
Yeah, that was an awful throw. Where was he throwing that ball?
I don't know who he's throwing it to. It was like a throwback, but it was, you know, McClendon had seen that, he said, on tape. Now, McClendon has been inactive most of the year because they've been fully healthy on the defensive line, but with Vita Vea out, he got to play, and you know, I kind of threw it right to him, but, you know, God bless him, you know, big man, almost a big man touchdown, but a big man interception.
We did have a big man touchdown in the game for the Giants. I mean, there's two big man catches.
Yeah. Tackle eligible, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was the
Andrews.
The tackle from Andrews from Georgia, I think.
Yep.
Or was it Alabama? I think it was Georgia.
He high-pointed that ball, too.
He did. That thing was almost thrown over his head. Yeah, he got up and got it. It was a nice play. Kind of bit of a, you know, tackle eligible. And right there, they're back in it. And good number of Giant fans. Not overwhelmingly so. It was still a very pro-Bucks crowd, obviously. But that got them all excited. And, you know, the Giants had won a couple in a row. This was a good test. It was the perfect team to play at home where the Bucks haven't lost and kind of, you know, kick the crap out of them and then, you know, worry about Indianapolis this Sunday. But good performances, I thought, all around. And defensively, you know, finally, like we said, they finally, after a pretty long drive, almost 8 minutes, the first possession, you know, they finally started getting off the field and put a lot of pressure on Daniel Jones. And, you know, I thought it was a good plan by Todd Bowles. And let me just say, if you don't think it matters, players matter. You know, Sean Murphy Bunting had not played since week one, and he didn't play very good against Dallas, and he got his elbow dislocated, and everybody said, well, that's probably it for him for the year because it was grotesque and it was, you know, the whole thing. And he's rehabbed that thing, and he came back, and he played in his first game on Monday Night Football. And you know what I could notice right away? Fresh legs. This guy has not been in the fire for a while. Everybody else is kind of moving at a different speed. He was moving really well because, obviously, you know, his dislocated elbow didn't affect his legs, maybe his conditioning a little bit. But he played really, really well, as did Jamal Dean, who they rarely challenge him on the other side. There was a PI in there. There's a couple of mistakes that they made, obviously. But, you know, for the most part, just having those, you know, getting him back, you know, if they're able to get Carlton Davis, I think is likely to come back in a week or two. That's, to me, is sort of what made, you know, Daniel Jones be under fire. The pressure was a little bit better because they covered those guys up on the backside. And I thought they could get more sacks if he hadn't been as mobile as he is. But it was a good job by the defense. They needed a bounce back game. They've not been good. I just think as this team gets healthier and healthier, you're going to kind of, you know, again, tough game in Indianapolis. I don't truly know where it goes. And if I were Bruce Arians, the thing that concerns me the most about them right now is they're two different teams at home and on the road. I mean, they're averaging almost 40 points a game at home, and they score 30 to 10 knockout. But then you take them on the road, and something has been happening. And I don't.
Well, I want to see the defense with Sean Murphy Bunting, Carlton Davis back. I want to see that defense on the road.
Sure,
because I think some of it is, you know, the secondary's been banged up, and it's been the story all year.
Yep,
and I think having those more veteran types, although they're still pretty young, Davis and Murphy Bunting and them, but having them back and everyone kind of slots back to their normal position, I think that will make it. I think that the defense will play better on the road with that.
Yeah,
I thought Joe Tryon Shawinka was great tonight.
He was tremendous. Please, for the love of God, and I listen, nobody respects JPP. No one thinks he's a bigger warrior than me. I still think he can play. He's definitely limited out there. He's got one shoulder that's out. You know, I mean, he's got, you know, the whole torn labrum thing going on. But when Shawinka goes in the game, you see him in the quarterback's face all the time. Like, he's either chasing him or he's in his face. And for the number of plays he gets, he's incredibly productive. What an athlete. He can run like in nobody's business. He's strong. Gosh, I'd like to see more of that guy. Because you're going to see him next year. I don't think JPP will be back. And if he can help you now, right, with that pass rush, they had won this. You know, they will put him on the field with the other two guys. They'll put him on the field with Shaq Barrett and JPP. They had one blitz where he was, you know, kind of in the middle of that defensive line. And he made a hell of a play. You know, he forced Daniel Jones out to throw the ball away on a critical fourth down, I think it was. But every time you saw him, he showed up. You know, like, you notice him because he's affecting the play, he's affecting the quarterback. I'd love to see more of him. I really would.
I'm guessing, you know, that you're going forward. And it, part of it, it's the maturation of a rookie. I mean, don't forget.
Yeah, that's true.
Don't forget, you know, not only is he a rookie, he didn't play last year.
He didn't play at all.
He sat out. You know, yeah. There's a lot of lost games and film study and all that stuff that, you know, yeah. My guess is, and not knowing, but, you know, part of him playing more is one, JPP's banged up, and so he's not playing as much because he's, you know, all the injuries he's got. But the other part is he is learning and growing and knowing what his assignments are and where he needs to be on the field too. I mean, you know, pass rushing isn't just, I just go after the quarterback. I mean, that's a big part of it. But there are plays right. You've got to do something else, and you've got to know what that is. And you've got to read whether it's a screen coming or whatever else. You know, and it's that learning process that he is, you know, now he's a half season into his rookie year. He's getting more playing time because he's absorbing that and learning that. I mean, that's, you know, it's kind of what you want rookies to do, is you don't expect rookies to come necessarily start the first snap and play every snap your rookie year. I mean, sometimes that happens, but, you know, there is a learning curve for that, and particularly a kid who sat out last year.
Well, he's got a chance to learn, you know, the way a lot of great pass rushers have behind DeMarcus Ware or, you know, whomever. It's a good position to be. And they do try to get all three of them on the field in certain rushdowns, which is, you know, the versatility really helps with all of that. There was a bit of a milestone. I mean, not a bit of one. There was a milestone. I thought it was kind of funny. You know, so Mike Evans led them with 6 catches for 73 yards. And he gets his touchdown. He gets his 72nd touchdown of his career, which breaks Mike Evans' record, club record.
Mike Allstott.
Did I say Mike Evans? Mike Evans broke Mike Allstott. Yes. I know that. He broke his own record.
It is
he
2
broke
o'clock Mike in Allstott's. The morning.
I know. It is. Don't tell anybody. And we're talking about Mike and Mike, so, you know. This is about the time I would almost get up for radio those days. I got up at 3:45. Anyway, so he breaks Allstott's record, and Allstott is there. You know, he's at the game, and we'll talk about some other Buccaneers that were there as well. John Lynch on it at halftime. So,
hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What's wild about it is I think about, you know, what are we in? Year 8, right? For Mike Evans, I think. And he's had 1,000 yards everywhere year. He will again. And he's probably, not even probably, he's playing his best football now because he's in the best shape he's ever been in his life. This guy had an unbelievable training camp. He says he's 225, but he's a more lean, muscular 225. He's not a, you know, like me or you know, the fast food 225. You know, he's so solid, and he looks thin. He can run all day. He doesn't get tired. And, you know, he's absolutely just, I mean, he's on an arc. If he could play, I don't know how many more years he would have to play. 3, 4, I don't know. But he's on a Hall of Fame arc. I mean, think about that. You know, you think about the Bucs players in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. You know, they're predominantly coaches or defensive players. You got Jimmy Giles and Paul Gruber and guys like that. But for Mike Evans, a receiver, okay, a receiver to have broken Mike Allstott's record for touchdowns, you know, franchise touchdowns, they've been playing now since 1976. That's really something, because you would expect another running back to come along and maybe knock that out. But Evans has managed to do it. He's so consistent, and I thought it was kind of funny because, you know, he gave away, you may not have heard this, he gave away Tom Brady's number 600 ball.
What?
When
that happened?
That was a couple weeks ago. It's been in all the papers. So he gave that away. So when Evans gives away a football every time he scores, which probably gets pretty expensive because they do fine you for those things. And so he catches it, he runs in the end zone, and he's getting ready to hand it, and he stops. And he kind of goes, nope, I'm going to keep that one. Pretty cool. Pretty cool moment for him. Big touchdown for the Bucs. He was really good. Godwin was really good. you know, they miss Antonio Brown, no matter what you think is going to end up happening to him, if anything, with this COVID situation. He is potentially, I hear, has a chance to play at Indianapolis. Originally, they thought it was about a 6-week injury. Now it looks like, you know, he might get back after like four or five, and so that would mean he could play at Indy. I mean, you get, you know, we'll see what the league does with all this other, you know, stuff. But, you know, for Brady to have Evans and Godwin, who he leaned on heavily, went to Brady a few times. If he gets Gronk back, you get AB. Scotty Miller could be activated. I mean, they're pretty healthy on that side. Now, the downside is they finally suffered an injury on the offensive line. And this could be fairly serious because it's like an abdominal injury, I think. And Ali Marpet went out of the game and fairly early. Now, fortunately for them, the Bucs' depth on offensive line, you know, is the interior offensive line. It's the guard center position. They got some from versatility, although Marpet was part of that, you know, because he can play center. He played center his first few years in the league. But Aaron Stinney came in, and Stinney's really good. Like, Stinney's a good player. He played all the postseason, Super Bowl, all of that, and did terrific. And he's even probably better this year. So they can sustain that for a little while. You hope Ali gets back. But that happened, so that kind of stunk. But other than that, I mean, it was just what they needed. They needed a convincing win. They needed to feel good about themselves. And now they've got a 2-game lead in the NFC South, just like that. Boom.
Mm-hmm.
2-game lead.
And they're back to the number 3 seed in the NFC.
And back to the number 3
game
seed.
Game and a half behind Arizona for the lead. So.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, this year, you know, with fans back and everything, of course, home field advantage is huge. And obviously, you know, they got a ways to go to get the number 1 seed, but not that far. And you know, just trying to win the division number 1 is going to be big. And then, you know, get a home game, at least one. And then you roll your dice and, you know, you hope you're at least, if you're going to go on the road, you hope you're at least in the championship. I'm here to tell you, I don't want to play anywhere where they can't grow palm trees this year. I am not interested in going back to Green Bay. Had fun up there. Had a lot of fun up there. It was funny. I was listening to so many of the New York writers, a couple of them are my friends, and they were like, oh, man, it's so nice down here. We got to go back up where it's freezing. It's going to be cold, by the way, when you listen to this podcast. I'm sure if you listen in the mornings, we're catching a little bit of a cold front ourselves. But even Lewis Riddick and those guys were like, hey, man, really, it was fun coming down to Florida. Like, you know, no wonder players want to play here. You got the GOAT. You know, you got a successful franchise. It was loud out there. There's a lot of Giants fans, but it was a cool atmosphere. Monday Night Football, it felt big time. You know, there's a lot going on. So, you know, good for them. 7-3, not the worst record. I think they should be about 8-2. You know, I think I picked them to lose 4 games, maybe like 13-4. But they could do better than that. They could surprise us. And, you know, by the same token, they could also lose, but I think the arrow is, as they say, trending up. I think,
well, as we talked about,
they're going to be okay
after this Sunday with the Colts. Look at the schedule the rest of the way.
Yeah.
I mean, the Bills are free falling right now.
The Saints.
You got the Panthers, you got the Saints. Yeah. You got another game with the Falcons.
Yep.
You know, the schedule is very friendly, other than you've got, you know, 4 of the next 7 on the road.
Yeah,
they haven't played as well on the road. But as they get healthier, particularly on the defensive side of the ball, I think that road record's going to improve, or their performances on the road will improve.
Yeah, and the other thing is, like, Brady just, you know, he's done this so much, and he just, if you'll just sort of follow his lead, right? I think as a team, they probably got over their skis a little bit. I don't think that he did, but I do think as a team they did. And he's had to sort of lock them back in, you know. But once you get after Thanksgiving, I mean, you know, these guys know, they kind of know the route home, and they're in great shape. I mean, could it be better? Yeah. Did you need, you know, you didn't want to lose 2 in a row. That stunk, but you could still get home field advantage. I mean, you know, Arizona's got to still play some tough teams, and you know, it's the any given Sunday. I mean, these guys could obviously lose once or twice before it's all said and done. So you don't know. But there's an opportunity here at 7-3 that had you been 7-4 or 6-4 rather, there would have been some serious questions both out and inside of One Buck Place. Because at that point, now you're saying, well, wait a minute. They're on to us now. Or, you know, we're not as good, and the reason might be age. It might be you're soul searching at that point when you lose three in a row. And Tom Brady, as you know, only did that once in 2002. He lost four in a row. But this was a huge game. And I don't think the Giants are good. In fact, I know they're not. Look at their record. I don't like their coaching staff. I think Jason Garrett, you know, probably would be okay, but his quarterback's no good. I think Gettleman's going to have to get a new guy. I don't think it's going to be Daniel Jones. You know, he might go the Mitch Trubisky route and back somebody up.
You wonder how long Gettleman will be there.
I don't think he will be. I Gettleman, you could argue, destroyed two franchises, the Panthers and the Giants, because I think the Panthers finally crawled out of it, and they got, you know, Matt Rhule, and now they've gone back to the quarterback that, you know, was there before he wasn't, but in Cam Newton. So it's wild, man. The NFL is wild, but you know, this was a big win. It's not a great opponent. There's nobody's gonna, you know, make them the favorites in the NFC all of a sudden. But geez, just look at this league. There's so much parity. There's so many teams, road teams winning this year, which is not the Bucs, obviously. They stink on the road, but everybody else seems to be pulling upsets everywhere. It's really an interesting year.
You know, you talk about home field too. So the Bucs right now are the third seed. You're only half game behind the Packers for the second seed. If you get the second seed, you're guaranteed two home games. And then depends on what happens to the one seed for the championship game. So even if you don't get the number one seed in the playoffs, you want the two seed.
Yes.
Because you're not going to play number one in your second game because of the 14 teams now. So
you wouldn't see them till the championship.
Yeah, I mean, you'd rather have the bye, but even getting that two seed's important. You're half game behind the Packers, only because they haven't had their bye yet, you know, assuming you get a win in that extra game.
Right.
So, I mean, the Bucs are right where they need to be. I mean, yeah. I mean, could they be 8-2? Sure. But
that Washington loss was bad.
It was.
You need to win that game.
But that might also be the wake-up call they needed, too.
That's true, too.
I mean, look, you know, for whatever reason, whether it was Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich or Tom Brady just refused to drop back and throw the ball deep, you know, that was a message being sent to the team.
Yeah.
That this isn't good enough. He got hit on the first series, and it was like, we're done doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it cost him a game. Maybe they lost it. But if it's sending a message and getting the team's attention, then maybe it was mission accomplished in that regard. Not that you go in thinking that, but.
Yeah.
You know, Tom Brady, you know, or whether it was Byron and Bruce, I mean, you know, they all say, oh, we didn't want to get hit, this and the other. But, you know, it's sending a message saying this isn't good enough. You know, we're better than this. And, you know, we've got to play better.
Yeah. They were locked in. I mean, they still had some mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, it's always easier to correct them when you lose. But it wasn't egregious as it's been with the pre-snap penalties and things like that. There's still an awful lot of talent on that Bucs team. You know, you look around the league and you go, okay, so the best team in the NFC is the Cardinals, I guess. And they won a couple games with Colt McCoy. I think Kyler Murray is fantastic. Their defense is good. I don't think the Bucs would be nervous about going into Phoenix, you know.
Cardinals have given up the least amount of points in the NFC. I mean, it's the defense Kyler Murray's great, but the reason you win two games with Colt is because your defense is playing well.
That's correct. Their defense is good, but I you know, elements not being a factor in Glendale.
Mm-hmm.
If you had to go out there and win a championship to go to a Super Bowl, you're 60 minutes away. Man, you take your chances, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Bucs are. They're as talented as Arizona, and their defense isn't maybe, but they're overall they're pretty darn talented.
Well, give them a healthy defense, and maybe. I mean,
and then maybe, right?
You know,
and that's the other thing. Vita Vea might come back. Like I thought when he got hurt in the final game against Washington, we probably wouldn't see him. He was close. They had him at doubtful. They worked him out before the game. They made, I think, the right decision, obviously, because they won the game without him. But and then, you know, Stevie Henderson ends up with the interception. But if you get Vea back, I mean, there's, you know, Vea.
Remember
Davis,
the impact he had last year coming back.
Oh, changed the whole playoffs. Changed the whole playoffs at Green Bay with his first game. 33 snaps, didn't record a tackle, didn't record anything. Absolutely changed the game. Impactful, impactful guy. Creating one-on-ones for JPP and Shaq Barrett, who just wore out Aaron Rodgers to the tune of 5 sacks and a bunch of hits. So that was key. And, you know, I mean, knock on wood if you're a Bucs fan, you know. But they've got a shot of changing their team just based on, you know, the players they were counting on coming back. And if they do that, they're going to be really, really good. I mean, you still got Brady. And Brady, when he's locked in, and it's hard to imagine he's never locked in, but when the rest of the team is locked in with him, they're pretty tough to beat now. They're a tough out. So it was a good game for them. What else we got going on? The Tampa Bay Lightning, I guess they host Philadelphia.
Yeah, but we did talk about John Lynch, too. Being
Oh, that's right. Before we get to that, that's right. At halftime. So Lynch, you know, his team, the 49ers, played at Jacksonville on Sunday. So this worked out. Obviously, they got the schedule back in April. And they said, when would be a good time? Because Lynch went in the Pro Football Hall of Fame to award him with, you know, his Hall of Fame ring. And David Baker, who's the outgoing president of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, was down. So they played Jacksonville. The 49ers won. Their team flew back. And then John somehow got here with his wife and 3 girls. Jake, his son, is getting ready to play Notre Dame because he plays for Stanford. So they play this weekend. But John was there, and they just – I thought it was understated but cool. Like, they had 2 other players on the field. That's it, just 2. And they were Warren Sapp and Derrick Brooks. And you cannot think about those teams in 02 without those 3 guys, right? It was always Brooks, Sapp, and Lynch. And you couldn't leave out the Lynch part. And so, you know, they were down there, gave a great speech, you know, done a lot of things in football, broadcasting, obviously, now the general manager of the 49ers. He said the most exciting thing that ever happened to him in football was winning the Super Bowl. And I missed it because I was headed out to Hawaii. But winning the Super Bowl and then being able to bring that trophy back into Tampa. He said that, was, especially Raymond James, that was the coolest thing in the world. So John was back in all his glory, and you know, the fans gave him a tremendous ovation. It was loud. It felt, you know, Mike Evans said something interesting after the game about how, you know, everything has changed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Brady got here, the winning changed. He said, this is what we longed for. We wanted to be relevant. We wanted to be playing national TV games. We wanted this stadium. The stadium was full. You know, they look up there and they don't see any empty seats. And they're like, wow, this is how the other half lives, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they've never been on the right side of that. And they like it. It's intoxicating. And it's the view is good from up there, right? And so they're driven to keep playing well.
They're 4-0 in primetime games.
Yeah.
Great. They're one of 2 teams undefeated at home.
Yeah.
They're 5-0. The Packers are 4-0.
That's right.
I mean, this is what Mike Evans, you know, add Levante David in that mix, have played in a lot of empty stadiums at Raymond James.
Oh, God. Yeah, they have.
And a lot of times where there was a lot more visiting fans than
home
fans.
There you go. There were more colored jerseys for the other team, mm-hmm. and nothing's worse than that. Just ask the Chargers. Because I think the other night they had more Pittsburgh stands by far fans than the Chargers in SoFi. So, yeah, so it was cool seeing him, and, you know, he mentioned something about the next player that needs to go in the Hall of Fame. He's at this stadium. He says, Ronnie Barber, your time is coming. Mm-hmm. I think it is coming. I couldn't predict what year. I think I could always make a really good case for him, even in some respects, if you didn't see him better than Lynch's. But Barber's done it all. I mean, he's done what Hall of Fame players have done. I can't, you know, other than the arrogance of the voters just saying, well, it's Tampa Bay, and, you know, they won just 1 Super Bowl. And, yeah, but their defense was great for a decade, and it was great for a reason. And Rondy was such a big part of that, you know, you can't write the story of their Super Bowl season without the pick six he had in Philadelphia, the 92-yarder, changed everything. And, you know, so I hope he gets in one day, but, you know, the triplets, as we call it, Brooks or Sapp, Brooks, and Lynch, those guys were the anchors of that defense, and it'll be a long time before you see anybody like that. But, yeah, so we had the Hall of Fame festivities. He got his ring. He'll be on a plane back to San Francisco, I'm sure, with his family and whatnot. We've got the Lightning are hosting Philadelphia at Amalie Arena. They had a kind of a weekend split, similar games in that they gave up a couple goal leads in the third period, but they're doing okay. They're not doing okay without Braden Point, though. And Braden Point, I guess, is going to miss some time.
I mean, he's out indefinitely at this point. The team was off on Monday, so no update as far as that goes. So maybe today we'll find out as they have a morning skate and then the game, of course, tonight. Maybe we'll have an update from John Cooper at some point on his status and what indefinitely means. Is that, you know, a few weeks or talking a few months or even worse?
Yeah. Well, hopefully not worse. I've heard a lot of innuendo, you know, well, it could be a concussion. Oh, it could be a broken collarbone. It could be a lot of things. I mean, it was a bad hit, and it's unfortunate because, you know, with Kucherov out, you definitely don't want to lose that guy. You don't want to lose anybody, but you don't want to lose Point. You know, the power play had not been good, but at least, you know, Point can, you know, get it through the neutral zone and start it and all the things he does, faceoffs and all that. But, you know, hopefully it's not as daunting as it sounds, but it sounds pretty bad. So they're going to be shorthanded a little bit without him. Tomorrow we're going to have our exciting mailbag segment. You guys call for it. You ask for it. I've already got questions, as a matter of fact. I know this is your chance, folks. Have you seen my Twitter feed lately?
You're not well-liked right now.
I'm not. And you know, geez, people, you know, kill the messenger, all that stuff much, you know. What I like is that I like the guy on Twitter that goes, you know, they already said that they didn't find any irregularities. Okay, let's just pump the brakes right here, okay? Like, this thing is over. You're beating a dead horse. No, there's no resolution to it. That's the thing. There's no resolution. There could be by the time you hear this podcast. But the league can't just, you know, I don't think that they can just say, well, you know, it's no big deal, you know, and he's fine and we're not even going to check and, you know, whatever. I mean, I think they have to at least look into a few things. Who's to say? He, you know, we're going to have a lot of questions. People, I've gotten hate mail before, and I got hate mail this time. I've had threats. Like, just Joe Sixpack Reader. Like, what are you doing, man? You know? I used to have my number in the paper and online. I just said, you know what, take that down. I can't sit here and answer calls all day from, you know, from people. And you're just fans, you know. I get it. Like, you want your team to win, yay, and you don't care how they win. You don't care anything about, you know, whether rules were broken or not. And in this case, it may or may not be. This is for the NFL to decide, and they're going to decide it. But there was a story there. And we have it. So if you've got mailbag questions about that, I'm happy to answer them, even if it's about, you know, the situation with Antonio Brown, which Lisa Salter's referenced on the Monday Night Football telecast as well. Bring us all you got. All you got to do is send it to us on Twitter, at SportsDayTV. You can reach me on Twitter, at NFL Stroud, or my email address is rstroud@tampabay.com. Don't call my phone number. I'm not going to answer it if it's you. So, thanks for listening. It's a very early morning, late evening, after the Bucks beat the New York Giants 30-10 on Monday Night Football, and they get ready to head on a short week to Indianapolis following Thanksgiving, which is just around the corner, to play the Colts. So we'll have all that for you this week. For Steve Versnick, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great night, everybody.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.